Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, July 10th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Police Department will soon add to its staff. Last night, the Assembly gave a green light to add a patrol officer, a dispatcher and records clerk, and a temporary traffic officer. The boost comes after department brass requested more resources from the Assembly, but it was really made possible by a surprise windfall from the state. KCAW's Ed Rocco explains.
About 80% of the people who go to jail in Sitka are there on state charges. So every year, the state of Alaska sends the city of Sitka some money to run the jail. It's a contract. This year, the contract landed on the desk of Sitka Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt right on schedule.
In fact, it looked exactly like the other contract. And then I paged through it to look for the dollar figure, and I was shocked.
Last year, the city got about $419,000 for the jail. Remember that, $419,000. Under this new contract, the state will pay more than $694,000 every year for the next five.
And I had to make some phone calls to make sure that it was for real.
The city spends more to operate the jail than it gets from the state. And so for years, it's been plugging that hole with money from its own budget. But now, with the state's extra money, Sitka can take what it previously used to fill the gap and spend it elsewhere in the department. Schmidt says they want to spend about $250,000, which is less than the windfall from the state.
We tried to be only to ask for the things that we absolutely felt that we needed, and not for anything else. So that's why that number is low. We're trying to be conservative. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The money comes at a time when the department says it's needed. In early June, Schmidt and other representatives from the department sat down with the Assembly and laid out big problems. Mandatory overtime to cover patrol shifts was killing morale. Detectives were put on patrol shifts when regular officers were out sick or on vacation, and that delayed their investigations. And in the last 5 years, positions have gone unfilled or been cut entirely. Assembly members were sympathetic to those problems at that June work session, and they were sympathetic on Tuesday as well.
Frankly, it's about time.
Tor Christensen says he's seen the problem both from his chair at the Assembly table and from his work as an EMT.
We've been using the police department to balance the budget for a few years now, and I can say from both personal experience with the fire department, seeing their staffing issues and knowing some of the people, but also just the numbers are really eye-opening.
Assembly member Pete Esquiro was the only one to vote no on the additional positions, although he did not explain why during the meeting. He did ask Schmidt what would have happened if the state had not upped its contract this year. Schmidt said the positions would likely have gone unfilled, and that led to this question.
So these were items that you didn't feel were high enough on your priority list to include in your regular budget?
You know, that's absolutely not true. I feel that these are fundamental. If we don't have these positions, I feel like we're putting the city at risk, particularly the dispatch and police officer position. I feel strongly about that.
Interim Municipal Administrator Jay Sweeney jumped in and said he also supported the additional positions.
I was prepared to go back and try to rework the budget to find a way to come up with the funding to make this work. And thank goodness a windfall appeared and made our job very easy.
The money that's now freed up, besides going to a patrol officer, a dispatcher, and a traffic officer, will help fund a study to see if a new justice facility is needed or workable for the city. Exactly what form that will take depends on the study, says Schmidt. But in a request for funding from the legislature, the city says its current building, which houses the police department, the courts, and several state offices, is inadequate. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
A military judge sentenced a Sitka Coast Guardsman to 9 months confinement in the brig and kicked him out of the service on Saturday. Petty Officer Second Class James Grover pleaded guilty at a court-martial in Juneau to charges related to possession of child pornography and making false official statements. Under a plea deal, he served his time at the Northwest Joint Regional Correction Facility at Joint Base Lewis-McChord near Tacoma. He was demoted to the lowest enlisted rank in the Coast Guard, that of seaman recruit, and given what is called a bad conduct discharge. That level of dismissal is one step less severe than a dishonorable discharge. Chief Petty Officer Kip Wadlow, a spokesman for the Coast Guard in Alaska, says Grover was taken into custody immediately following the court-martial at the federal building in Juneau. Petersburg officials are happy with the latest plan for legislative boundaries under consideration by the Alaska Redistricting Board. That board on Sunday adopted a conceptual election map for the 2014 election cycle. The map puts Petersburg in a House district with Sitka, Craig, and other small southeast villages from Hoonah to Hollis. Petersburg's acting mayor, Sue Flint, says she's happy with the proposed district.
It puts us with Sitka and some smaller communities and takes us out of downtown Juneau, and that is sort of what we were after. The mayor is happy with this, and I also heard Craig is happy with this. So we aren't with Wrangell anymore, but it looks like a good plan.
Petersburg is in a House district with downtown Juneau through next session of the legislature. Community leaders challenged that alignment in court, but it became the interim electoral map for the 2012 election. The redistricting board was ordered to come up with a new permanent plan for the 2014 election. This latest conceptual plan keeps Ketchikan in the same House district as Wrangell. Metlakatla and Heidelberg are also included. That House district would be paired with Sitka, Petersburg, Craig to make a new southern southeast Senate district. Meanwhile, under proposal, downtown Juneau is partnered with Haines, Skagway, and Gustavus. Juneau's Mendenhall Valley remains its own district, surrounded by the downtown to Upper Lynn Canal District. The Alaska Redistricting Board released the plan Sunday after considering about a dozen and a half set boundaries created by staff and outside groups. It said the new map is not the final plan. That's expected to happen during a Sunday meeting. Southeast has four House districts and two Senate districts. The two Juneau-based House districts would be in the same Senate districts as they are now. We have a link to the latest map posted on our website, kcaw.org. Alaska's premier randonneuring event is returning to the road this summer. The second big wild ride will look a lot like last year's, but with more qualified riders. Event official Kevin Turinsky says Alaska's Big Wild Ride is scheduled to avoid conflict with the granddaddy of all randonnée bike rides, Paris to Brest and back.
We heard from a lot of riders who did go to PBP and weren't able to come to Alaska to ride the Big Wild Ride that they had hoped that someday we could shift the year we have the Big Wild Ride so they could come over and do the ride. So we figured we would lag PBP by 2 years. So after this year, we'll wait 4 years until the next Big Wild Ride.
The Big Wild Ride's course is 1,200 kilometers from Valdez to Anchorage. Turinsky says unlike most grand randonnées, this course is unique.
It's not an out and back, which is characteristic of so many 1,200K Grand Randonnées. This way, there's the unexpected always looming around the next corner or beyond the next knoll or hill for the riders.
Randonnées are not races, but tests of a biker's ability to be self-sufficient over long distances. Bikers must complete the course within 90 hours. There are 47 qualified riders in this year's event. In order to be eligible, riders must qualify in a shorter event of 100 to 600 kilometers in the same year. The Big Wild Ride is scheduled to begin at midnight on July 21st at the Mountain Sky Hotel in Valdez. A federal agency has again rejected an endangered species listing for a species of ice seal found off Alaska. The National Marine Fisheries Service announced Tuesday it is rejecting a listing for ribbon seals as it did in December 2008. The agency says in an announcement that anticipated threats from reductions in sea ice and disruption to prey will result in a gradual decline in ribbon seal population numbers. However, the decline is not expected to put them in danger of extinction in the foreseeable future. Ribbon seals are found in the Bering and Chukchi Seas. Ribbon seals during summer live entirely in water. From March through June, ribbon seals use loose pack ice for reproduction and molting. The state has proposed an exploration plan aimed at determining the oil and gas potential in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It comes after Interior Secretary Sally Jewell says a seismic exploration proposal suggested by the state in May is prohibited under federal law and would require congressional authorization. State Natural Resources Commissioner Dan Sullivan says under the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, the secretary must approve an exploration plan if it meets the necessary requirements. He says he believes the plan the state is now submitting does. Sullivan made clear that Tuesday's actions were separate from, though related to, what the state proposed in May. The earlier proposal represented an alternative the state believed should have been considered as feds weighed a management plan for the refuge. State prosecutors have announced charges against 29 people as part of an ongoing investigation into alleged Medicare fraud. The individuals include 28 personal care attendants and one person who's supposed to be getting care but allegedly took a share of the take. 27 of the care providers were associated with Good Faith Services, LLC. The investigation began when the state health department received information that Good Faith employees weren't providing care to Medicaid recipients at Chugach Manor and Chugach View Apartments in Anchorage. The state alleges Alaska's Medicare program paid more than $362,000 for fraudulently billed services. The Department of Law, in a release, says the attendants charged have been barred from further billing to the Medicaid program pending the outcome of the charges. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. It's currently 51 degrees downtown Sitka. Expect rain in the morning, scattered showers, highs around 60. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.